Good morning. It's time now for the Taos United Methodist Church service from Taos City, here on the Bay's Best, WIOS.
Give blood in Michigan to hospitals in Michigan. There's a phone number there if you'd like to call and make an appointment, and we want to do our best to have as many people give blood as possible. Today we have special guests, Eric and Rebecca Harbin, who are here from One Mission Society. And those of you who know, Sarah and I worked with One Mission Society when we were missionaries. So Eric and Rebecca are going to be sharing with us this morning. I would like to ask if the two of you could just stand just briefly so people can see you. And they've got their two children, Mariah and Isaiah. And we're glad you guys are here today. Going on next Sunday, October the 15th, this is the Education Committee. We'll have a brunch after worship, raising support for Vacation Bible School in 2024. We have our youth program at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and we hope there will be a lot of... Didn't we have 10 youth the last time we had a youth meeting? And what did we say? If we have 10 students two times in a row, what happens? We go to China Buffet, right? All right. It means we need 10. And boy, if we got a special plan... we'll tell you more about that. Taos Methodist Church First Annual Business Meeting is Sunday, October the 22nd. Sunday following worship, we'll have our business meeting. All members should attend. We're going to announce it this week and next week so that anytime throughout the year, if anybody says to us, "I never know what's going on in the church," we'll say to you, "Why don't you come to the meetings?" So, we need to know who we are, and we'll go far. To that end, I've created a little acrostic. You know what an acrostic is? It's where you have a bunch of sentences, and the first letter in each sentence, or a bunch of words, and the first letter in each word spells a word. And our acrostic is ironclad, and I brought this in relation to that business meeting that's coming up. We are now an independent church. We're not part of a denomination at this point. And people are already gossiping and saying things they shouldn't say all around town. Those Methodists are going to die. You know, they're not part of the denomination anymore. And that's not true at all. Maybe you didn't realize, but we have the highest average Saturday and Sunday attendance we've had in 10 years. You guys are doing a great job. And I account that to a large degree that God is pleased with the decision we made. I believe that God is pleased and God blesses when He's pleased. So, our ironclad future can happen when we realize that we are an independent and an intentional congregation. When we realize we are responsible to God first and also to each other. When we see ourselves as organized for love from pure hearts. Then we have the nations as our vision, but we have our community as our context. You might have heard people say from time to time, you know, think globally but act locally. That's what that means. God has given us a vision to make disciples of all nations, but we live here and we work here. And then we are a loving people, and our love is in obedience to God. We're not in obedience to God because God is a taskmaster. It's not a burden to be obedient to God. We are obedient because we love Him. And then we're attentive to God's Word. And that is for the purpose of living holy lives. And then lastly, our doctrine is sound and consistent. We're not just making up new beliefs. We are following time-proven Wesleyan doctrine that has been successful and faithful to Scriptures for hundreds of years. So there's my ironclad for an ironclad future, and I believe that this will ensure that our congregation exists 10 years from now as a fruitful congregation, and not just 10 years from now, but beyond. We have a membership class coming up very soon. I have changed the dates on this. We will have two sessions, and they will be October 21st and November 4th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. So if you're still interested in this, please contact us at the office. The annual Taos Methodist Women Bazaar by the Bay and Craft Sale. And the date on this is the 21st of October. Am I right on that?
Yes.
Thank you, ladies. Okay, I didn't put the date on there, so sorry. It's October the 21st. All Saints Day. This is Sunday, November the 5th, and you know every year we celebrate All Saints Day. This is when we honor those who have passed in the last 12 months. So if you have a family member who has passed in the last 12 months, part of our church, then please provide us with portrait photos. You can send these to us by email. You can bring them in, and that will help us prepare for that service on November the 5th. The Samaritan Purse boxes have all been taken, so thank you for those who have taken them. Yeah, thank you. A round of applause for that. Thank you. Some child somewhere in the world will have a wonderful Christmas because you took the time to put some of those boxes together, and that may be all that they receive. If you haven't made an appointment to take your picture for the new picture directory, Mary Bean is the expert on that, and she has her table set up out in the gathering space. You can do that when you're here for Sunday worship. That's probably the easiest time to do it. You can do it online as well. Those are all the announcements I have, so I'll turn it back over to Sean and leave us in our gathering hymn.
Let's stand and sing together, "Oh, for a Thousand Times the Same." We're going to sing verses 1 through 3, 4, and 6.
Remember these. Let's take some time in quiet prayer to the Lord and then I'll pray the Lord's Prayer. I'll pray a pastoral prayer, and then we can join the Lord's Prayer together. Let's bow our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to pray to you this morning, we are your people. We are gathered here as the body of Christ to worship you in song, to listen to your word, to join together in responsive readings. Father, we're here to exercise our faith, and grant, Lord, that this exercise of faith will result in living by faith throughout each week. Heavenly Father, you know the concerns that we have among us. There are those who are getting ready for surgery. There are those who have just been through surgery. There are those who are healing from sicknesses and illnesses of various kinds. We lift them up to you, Lord, and we ask that you perform miracles in our lives, whether it be a miracle of healing or a miracle of growing in faith through difficulties. We leave it all to you. And we also remember the world around us, our nation, and other nations, for example, Ukraine and Israel, and the wars that are going on in the world. And we ask, Lord, that you would put to end these wars, because the Bible says you make wars cease to the ends of the earth. And we know eventually you will do that, so we give you praise for that. We pray these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. is the time for the young children's moments. Kids, this is your moment. Come on up. Grab your favorite seat. Isaac, is it anyone to come up here? I'm going to come over and sit over here. You guys, we've got some visitors today. Yeah, this is Mrs. Harbin, and she has two children, Mariah and Isaiah. And they're going to talk to you this morning. Okay, are you ready? You wide awake here yet? Get ready, Mrs. Harbin.
Well, good morning. As you said, my name is Rebecca, and we thought today we would teach you all a Bible verse. Because the Bible is the most important book. You know, say that after me. Say the Bible is the most important book. It is, so it's good to memorize it. So today we're going to do a verse with you, and we like to do motions with it because that helps us to remember it. So, today we're reading the verse from Joshua, Joshua 1:9. So it goes, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." God is with you wherever you go, no matter what you do, at school, at home, when you're at the park, in the car. He's with you all the time. Do you think you guys can say this after me this time? Ready? I'll go slow, okay? So be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. All right, so where is God? Is he with you? Everywhere. That's right.
Thank you very much. Thanks for helping out, kids. Okay, kids, let's have a little prayer, and then I'll let you go. Mrs. Kappler's waiting back there to take you to Junior Church. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for this great message about Joshua 1:9 today. And we pray, Lord, that you will help our children become children of the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Off you go.
Let's stand and sing together verses 1, 3, and 4 of hymn number 591.
I know our presentation, I know where we're going and what we're doing, the day. And so for today, kind of what's going to happen is I'm going to give you just a very brief overview of where we're going and what we're doing. Hopefully just enough to maybe pique an interest in you. And then I'll be available after the service to answer any questions you might have. Because there's so many different nuances that we could get into. There's different aspects of our ministry that we could focus on. There's several things that we could touch on this morning, but we don't really have the time for that. Because I also want to get into our story a little bit. I want to be able to share with you why we're here, why we believe the Lord has called us. And hopefully our story in some way will encourage you and maybe challenge you to live more on fire for Jesus right where you are. Because that's all of our call, right? All of us are called to make disciples of all nations. Well, some of us have the privilege to go do that in a cross-cultural setting, like we do. But many people, the majority of us actually, have the privilege of doing that right where we are, in our own context. And so you thought that you were receiving a visiting missionary today, but what you didn't know is that this room is already filled with a bunch of missionaries, and I'm looking at every single one of you right now. We all have the honor and the privilege to serve Jesus, to live for Him, and to be His witnesses, even here in Tawas, Michigan, and wherever else you might live if you travel. So, brief intro and overview of where we're going. It's already been said, you see it on the screen. We are going to be going to Sicily, Italy, as missionaries with OMS, with One Mission Society. And so I'm going to have you go into the next slide, because not everybody knows where Sicily is. And that's okay. I had to look up a map the first time as well. So I brought in a couple maps for you. If you look here, you'll know. You might not be able to see all the words there, but that's a map of Europe. And you can kind of see Italy somewhat in the middle. It sits on the Mediterranean Sea, so we'll zoom in on that on the next slide. So here we've got Italy. And if you've heard this often quoted phrase, Italy looks like a boot and it's kicking a football. Not necessarily an American football, probably a soccer ball, because that's what they call it over there. If we zoom in on that football, it's the island of Sicily. Sicily is one of the regions of Italy. That is the island that we will be calling home here shortly. And if you zoom in even one more time, you'll see the big, bold word, Catania. Catania will be home for our family for at least the next 4 to 5 years. And we are excited about what God is leading us into. If you go to the next slide, so much of our work is we do want to reach local Italians, local Sicilians. We want to proclaim the gospel to the natives there. But we live in a very interesting time in that there are many immigrants and refugees that are fleeing their home countries and they're going into Europe. And many of them are traveling into Italy, and a large percentage of those are moving into Sicily. Sicily is becoming, in some ways, kind of a gateway to Europe for a lot of these immigrants and refugees that are coming from all over, a large majority from Africa, but they come from Africa, they come from the Middle East, they even come as far as India. We'll get into some of those here in a minute. But the number I want you to notice on this slide, it's at the very top there, if you can't see that, it's 128,000. Now, I took these statistics just, I think it was the middle of September, so we're a couple weeks out from that, but this year alone, over 128,000 people have fled their countries into Italy alone. These are Italy-specific numbers, not Europe, but Italy. 128,000 people fleeing their home country for a better place to live, maybe. More opportunities. You go to the next slide. You're probably not going to see these numbers, but all of those little blue circles represent, out of those 128,000, where are they landing in Italy? You'll notice the biggest circle hovers over the island of Sicily. If we were to zoom in on that, you would see that just shy of 110,000 of the 128,000 people that have come into Italy have landed on the island of Sicily. So you can imagine there's a lot of people coming in. It's not home for them. It's a foreign land, just like it is for us. It will be a foreign land for us, but maybe for them in a very different way. And so you might ask, because we get this question often, where are they coming from? Well, once you go to the next slide, and again, it's fine print. You probably can't read that because I don't think I can from here. So I'm going to turn around for just a moment and just list some of of the countries that these people are coming from, because we often get asked, like I said, where are they coming from? But the reality is they're coming from all over. There is not a specific country that they seem to be coming in from. Many of them are traveling to Libya and Tunisia, right across the Mediterranean, and that's where they're boarding ships to cross over to come into Italy. But they're coming from all over. You've got people from Guinea, the Ivory Coast, Egypt, Tunisia, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Syria, Cameroon, Gambia, Sudan, Afghanistan, Senegal, Nigeria. You get the point. Coming from all over, which does present a challenge, but it also presents a really, really great opportunity. Many of these people coming in from Muslim-majority countries, and even some from unreached people groups, people who, by all statistical measures, either have very little or no exposure to the gospel whatsoever, coming from countries in which are very difficult for people like us to even get in and proclaim the good news of Jesus. And yet, we are going to be moving to a city where we are receiving them. And we potentially have the opportunity to be the first people, or at least some of the first people that they will come in contact with. And I'll get into some of our vision as a team here in a moment, but just imagine how difficult the travels are for some of these people. I've watched a few documentaries recently, and it does not seem pleasant. They're risking a lot just to make it where they are. And although they're coming in for new opportunities financially, economically, and for their family safety, we have the awesome privilege to be able to give them something that they did not expect when they came. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. We go into the next slide. We're just going to kind of scan through some of these pictures. I want to give you a visual of some of the stuff we do. So a lot of our work is funneled through two main things. We have a bike shop called Agape BG, and we have a community garden. Now, the bike shop specifically, the way we operate is we take donated bikes, we fix them up, we give them away for free to the immigrant refugee population, and really anybody who has a need. But we operate as a full-scale bike shop. And so really the goal of all of this is to build relationships with the local community, but also be a presence in the community for these immigrants and refugees to have a safe place to go. Because not only do we fix bikes, but we engage them in conversation, we build relationship, right? So as you hear me talk about the bike shop and the community gardens, hear them through that lens. These are a means to an end. We're not going to start the greatest bike shop Sicily's ever seen. We're not trying to plant the best community garden in the world where you can buy the most incredible organic vegetables. No, these are all a means to build relationship, to invite people into a discipleship relationship, to train them, and then, as you'll see in a little bit, send them out. So let's navigate through these pictures a little bit and keep going, just kind of slowly, but just gives you a good visual of where we're going and what we're doing. The city of Catania has roughly 350,000 people in it, so it's a large city. If you stop there for a moment, one of the things we do in our bike shop as well is we make these funny-looking bikes. And we ride around in the city center and draw attention just so that we can have some intentional conversations with people. This one specifically, you can't tell because it's a picture, he's not moving, but he actually has to pedal backwards to go forward. A little bit of mind, it messes with your mind, you keep going. There's another bike, actually, it's a tandem bike, if you guys are familiar with those, with two people riding the same bike, but they're facing in opposite directions. So again, just fun things to be able to draw attention, engage people in conversation. We have a lot of new vision coming up for this bike shop as well. We want it to become a sustainable business on its own so we can hire refugees and immigrants and not only employ them so that they can have some sort of financial benefit to provide for them and their family, but so that we can continue to disciple them in a very intentional way. But remember, sit on this slide for a moment. Because remember what I said, these are means to an end. This is the end. Well, the beginning of the end, right? Because life doesn't end in baptism or even just salvation, right? We're good Wesleyans. We don't believe in just that justifying moment of putting our faith in Jesus and being cleansed and whole. But then we enter this process of sanctification where we become more like Jesus. We become holy. So this is the goal. This is the end goal of everything we do. We want to see life transformation happen and individualized, but then collectively. A moment ago, I said that we want to disciple them with then the intention of sending them out. Because so much of our work, yes, we do have people coming through, and we want to impact them where they are. We want to plant churches. We want to make disciples in our community that we'll be living in. But Sicily is not known to be the place where these immigrants and refugees land and stay. Because most of the job opportunities are further up in Italy or in France or Germany or other places in Europe. And so we have the awesome opportunity to be kind of sending agency of sorts. We invite people in, we disciple them, we train them on how to follow Jesus, how to study the Bible, how to then help other people come in relationship with Jesus and follow Jesus and study the Bible, who then in turn, you get the point, it's a movement. And so what we want to do is we want to take these young men, these young women, and whoever else might come in contact with us, see their lives so transformed that then we send them out on their journey. As they continue to move forward, they are now planting churches and making disciples amongst other people from Muslim-majority countries or from unreached people groups. So it's an awesome opportunity that we have. It sounds really easy to say that and get excited about the vision. It's another to realize how hard of work this is actually going to be. But I get excited about this. And I personally get excited about the young man or the young woman, whoever it is that might come through our team, coming in for a new opportunity, right? A better life. New life. But yet the new life they had in mind has changed. Because not only are they maybe experiencing new life and through opportunities, maybe through employment or other means, but now they've found new life in Jesus. And they were so transformed by that new life that they decide they want to go back. Remember I said earlier, some of these places where they're coming from is very difficult for us to get into. But that's home for them. So how cool would it be if these young men and young women go back to their home countries with a new message to save their people from their sins and to see Jesus completely transform not just an individual life, but now a whole community. And that's something that I get excited about. And so how can you partner with us, right? Because we need people journeying with us. We need people praying. We need people giving. And so I don't know what the Lord is going to do in your own heart this morning, but we've got opportunities for you out in the lobby, on the visitor table. There's some prayer cards. And there's opportunities for you to stay in touch with us. We've got contact information out there. We've got ways for you to sign up for our newsletter if you want to follow that. And if you need any help, please come talk to us. We'd be happy to help you navigate that. But we would love to partner with you in ministry, because that's exactly what it is. I think often we talk about people supporting missionaries, and you do, right? You support us through prayers. You support us through your giving. But it's a partnership. Because you're just as much a part of that work as we are. There's so many opportunities to get involved, to give, to go, to pray. So we become partners when you partner with us in that work, no matter at what level. And so prayerfully consider that this morning. How might the Lord stir your heart to partner with us? And then respond. You might be surprised at what he does in your own heart. As you just trust him. Because that's what this is all about. So, that's a brief overview, right? There's so many other nuanced things that we could get into to explain more about the Bike Shop Community Garden, this and that. But I want to just get into it for a moment. I want to share a little bit more of maybe our story as a way to hopefully give you some of the why on why we're going where we're going, how we got to this point. Like I said earlier, I would love for this to inspire you, to challenge you, because I feel like I'm a product of being inspired and challenged by other people's lives. We're meant to do this thing together, right? Again, I said earlier in the Sunday school hour, discipleship is not a solo endeavor. If we try to go at this thing alone, good luck. And so I hope that even just through our story a little bit, it might inspire you to take a step closer to Jesus. because that's the journey we're all on, right? And so the story in Acts chapter 16, we read it last night in the service, we read it this morning in the service, and then if you were a part of the Sunday school hour, we actually got to do a little bit of a deep dive in there. But I saved some details for you who were in Sunday school, because I knew that I was going to be sharing a little bit of my story in, I guess, conjunction with this passage, and so I didn't want you to have to hear it twice. But I'm already looking around and seeing some faces that were here last night, so sorry. You gotta hear it again. Now, we heard the passage read aloud. I'm not going to read it again because I can already tell my time is a little bit further along than I was last night at this point. So, let me just give you a brief overview, right? Paul and Silas and Timothy are journeying, and there's a moment where the scripture says the Holy Spirit prevented them from doing something, right? And so they continue their journey on maybe a different route, but then it says again, the Spirit of Jesus prevented them from doing something. So two times in a row, we see the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, prevent Paul and Silas and Timothy from doing something that's seemingly good, right? Because their intentions were to come in and preach the gospel. But twice, they're prevented. And then all of a sudden, we see this moment where Paul has a vision. He has a vision in the night of a man from Macedonia calling out and saying, "Come to us." So we've got Holy Spirit preventing once, Holy Spirit preventing twice, and then a vision. So I want to use that as a model to kind of tell the story to you this morning. About a year and a half ago, I was deep in talks with the region that I'm a part of in planting a new church. That was a passion of mine, something that I was interested in doing. At the time, I was serving at a church underneath the church planting director for our district. And so a lot of good influences on my life in that way as well. And so I'm pursuing this opportunity. Again, a good opportunity, right? For more people to hear the good news of Jesus. Nobody's going to complain about a new church. But yet, something happened in that process where it was kind of stalled and delayed. Some doors that we thought were opening all of a sudden started to close. And what that actually did, thank God, was it made us just kind of take a step back and go, because as I shared last night, what happened in our life was I just got finished preaching a sermon at the church that I was serving at, and we got in the car, we were about to head up to visit some family, and my wife looks at me in the car and goes, "You know what, Aaron? I don't know if I've truly asked the Lord. I don't know if I've prayed and asked the Lord where we're supposed to do this." And that just hit me in the heart a little bit. Because if I'm being honest, I also had not prayed and asked the Lord what he thought about this. I think it's so easy to think that even though something's good, if we're just going to go at it without really asking the Lord if he's in it or not, we can enter some trouble. And so what seemingly looked like just some closed doors, we could have just went and tried to open another open door. It allowed us to take a step back and go, okay, what's happening here? And so we did that. We took a step back and we started praying and asking the question, okay, God, what are you doing with us? Because at the time I was in a 2-year residency, and so I already had a time clock. It's not like I was looking for somewhere new to go because I was discontent with where I was. No, we had a time clock. We had about 9 months left in my job before we were having to move on to something else. So we started asking the question, God, where are you taking us and what are you doing? The Holy Spirit prevented us once, right? I'm going to add another part to it. If we go back to Acts chapter 13, you'll notice that Paul and Barnabas, you might recognize those names, are in the church at Antioch. This was a pretty growing and established church at that point in time. And there was a season where this church, it seems like scripture told us, they entered a season of fasting and prayer. And it was in the midst of this fasting and prayer that the Holy Spirit said, "I want you to set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have called them to." Paul and Barnabas did not come up with some grand vision that they had to plant a cool church. No, this came and was birthed out of a season of prayer and fasting to the Lord and inviting them into that. That's exactly what happened to us. We entered a season of fasting and prayer, asking the Lord, "What are you doing? Where are you taking us?" And it was in that season that we felt this nudge to go into the mission field, which in some ways came completely out of left field because I didn't share this story, but growing up, my wife, her heroes were missionaries. She wanted to be a missionary. But the Lord asked her to lay that down in 2016, which I'm grateful for, because in 2016, I finally responded to a call to ministry in my life, and people would ask me, "Aaron, what are you going to do?" I don't know, but I know I'm not called to the the mission field. So my wife and I stepped on foot at the campus of Asbury Seminary. It was first time seminary students, and we met each other. I can tell you right now, my wife's a wise person. If her goal was to do the mission field and she came across Mr. No Missions, we would not have met, we would not have started dating, we would not be married today, so I'm grateful that the Lord asked her to lay that down for a season. But again, it's in the season of fasting and prayer that the Lord led us into missions. And so we started navigating that. We asked a bunch of friends and family to pray with us and for us because we wanted to make sure we were discerning this right. We needed a community of believers to confirm this in us rather than, again, stepping out in vain. And so people were praying with us and for us. We reached out to a missionary couple who serves in Ukraine. If you're going to join a mission agency, you better reach out to the mission agency first. Because if you reach out to a missionary couple, they're going to do everything they can to get you to join them. And we were so grateful for this couple. We were very excited about what they were doing. We loved what they were doing. And so we wanted to join them naturally. We got excited about it. But they were serving in Ukraine, and as you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in Ukraine right now. So when we started having conversations with our agency and went through that interview process, it became pretty clear that OMS, One Mission Society, told us, we're not sending you guys to Ukraine. We're allowing our team to go back, but we don't feel right sending you guys, a young family with two kids, in that situation right now. Another closed door, right? The Holy Spirit prevented another good thing. We need more missionary workers, and we need missionary workers everywhere. But we need more missionary workers in Ukraine, especially in a season like this. But the Holy Spirit prevented us from going. Why? I mean, I think I know why now, because we're going somewhere else. But again, another moment where we saw a door closed. But again, just like Paul and Silas and Timothy, they didn't see a closed door and go, let's go back to Antioch. Apparently, we shouldn't be going anywhere. No, they kept going forward. And that was exactly what we felt the Lord telling us in that season. In fact, he confirmed that in other people when they were praying. The consistent message we got to move forward. Move forward. Just keep moving. And eventually, the Lord will make this clear. And he did. He did. Another thing we felt in that season was to trust the leadership of OMS to give us a strong recommendation on where they thought we would best fit. You know your teams, you know your fields, you're getting to know us, you know our gifts and our passions. You tell us where you think we might best fit, right? And so we're in a conversation one night, or one day on a Zoom call with the regional director for the year in the Middle East, and he proceeds to say, he's telling us about all the different fields they have and whatnot. He goes, unless you had a dream last night about Italy, probably not going to send you guys there. Because at the time, he didn't actually think that was going to be a good place for us for a variety of reasons. I'll be honest, I did not have a dream the night before about Italy. But several days later, I did. And I don't remember that it wasn't a very vivid dream, but I remember in that dream, me and Rebecca were having a conversation, and in this conversation, I don't remember who spoke it up, either me or her. You should write down your dreams if you have them so you don't forget them. But I remember in the dream us coming to the conclusion that we were supposed to go to Italy. But yet that was contradictory to what I was feeling at the time because I really felt like the Lord said, trust them to give you a strong recommendation. At the same time, they were going to recommend a different country, or so we thought. And so through a series of events, I'll save a little bit of time because I got a few more things I want to say. They came back to us, and I was expecting that conversation that for them to say, hey, we're going to send you to X country. Then say, hey, actually, we can't send you to that country. Where we actually think you best fit is Italy. And I said, Jonathan, that's really funny because do you remember a couple weeks ago you said, hey, Eric, unless you had a dream about Italy, we're not going to send you there? Well, I did not the night before you said that, but I did a couple of days afterwards. I don't think that was coincidence. Holy Spirit prevented once, Holy Spirit prevented twice. And through a dream, the Lord revealed to us where he wanted us to serve. Do you guys believe God still moves in the way that we read in Scripture? He does. There's incredible stories all throughout the book of Acts where we can't wrap our heads around it in the context and the culture that we live in, but God still moves that way. He responds, he answers, he speaks through prayer and through fasting. He speaks through the community of believers. And he speaks through dreams and visions and things that we can't fully comprehend, but he does. And I'm grateful for for it. We're running a little bit short on time, so I'm going to keep this next part short. Another quick story for me, because I think sometimes, unfortunately, missionaries, we get put on this platform, this hypothetical platform of we're somehow, like, we somehow reach this level of discipleship or this level of following Jesus that you have to attain before God calls you to some task, right? But that is so far from true. We are everyday ordinary believers. In fact, if we believe the book of Acts is true, and we do, and that God still speaks the way he does, what did the religious leaders of the day say about Peter back in Acts chapter 2 or 3 when he was speaking boldly before the Sanhedrin? What did they notice? These were unschooled, ordinary men. But the very next line, they had noticed that they had been with Jesus. So maybe the prerequisite to being called to something is not to be some schooled or extraordinary person or Christian, but it's just being Jesus. And we read John chapter 15, the clear command from Jesus for us to abide in him, to abide in the vine. He says, if you love me, you'll obey me. So what if the key is actually just small steps of obedience over time? Responding to those little nudges of the Holy Spirit. And I had several of those that I'm not going to get into. I'm just going to speak really quickly on this. I studied finance in college. I was running from a call to ministry. I was working in corporate America before I finally responded to a call to ministry in my life. That was the first real step of obedience. I had no idea what I was doing. All I knew was that I wasn't going to the mission field, remember? But I knew I was supposed to go to Asbury next. Just trust that he was going to reveal the next step. And then there was other moments where I felt him saying, start taking the means of grace seriously. So I started actually reading my Bible, because I never really read my Bible up to that point. And it's amazing what happens when you read the Bible. Things happen. You grow. And then I got other small nudgings, right? Eric, give up social media. Eric, give up your TV. Eric, stop watching so much sports because it's ruining your life. And I responded. And each of these moments, I felt like I was growing a little bit deeper, trusting a little bit more, until we get to where we are now. And the question I really started wrestling with through all of that was really the question, are you willing? Are you willing? So that's the question I want to leave with you today. So are you willing? Because there was a season where I wasn't. But then there was a season I started to trust. I started to wrestle with those questions, those hard commands in Scripture, right? I yourself pick up the cross and come follow me? What are we doing with that? What are we willing? Are you willing? Let's pray. God, I do thank you for this morning. I thank you for this community who has welcomed us with open arms. Rebecca and Mariah and Isaiah and I have enjoyed being amongst these people. It's your people. Because we're a part of the greater body that we call church. We're all church together. Body of Christ. So Lord, I ask that you would bless this community. And would you continue to nudge them? And would they continue to partner with you in what you are doing here in Tawas? And as you continue to give those little nudgings, would they be obedient to follow you every single day? Let's just trust that you're going to provide. You're going to lead. You're going to guide. Because you promised to be with us. Even to the very end of the age. And that promise we will not to this one. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Eric and Rebecca are getting ready to embark on the adventure of their life. And it will be difficult. It will also be exciting. As Eric mentioned earlier, they have prayer cards out on the visitor's table when you come into the sanctuary. Please take a prayer card. With that prayer card, you can remember them, you can connect with them and request their regular newsletter, you can support them financially. I've talked with a couple of the committees in our church. The missions committee is talking about using our Christmas Eve offering as a gift to the Harlins. And our education committee is talking about starting a new ministry. We don't take offerings in our Sunday school program. Most of us grew up giving offerings in Sunday school. So what we're going to do is we're going to have like a coffee can in our Sunday school classes, and in that coffee can, people can give donations to the Hartmans, and then we'll have like the newsletter that they write that will be there in a little pocket. People can take that and pray for them. And we're talking right now about the Sunday morning adult Sunday school class, the men's morning prayer group on Saturday. We're talking about the women's Bible study. I have to get permission from Mary on that one. But and then Wednesday evening group. So our hope is that through these offerings, we'll be able to support them at least $100 a month, and probably quite a bit more than that in reality. But if you would like to give a donation to them, please take their prayer cards and join us in prayer. I know our Tuesday evening group will be praying for them on a regular basis. So just so glad that you guys can be here. Now, I'd like to move into asking the ushers, would you please come with the morning offering? And today we have the noisy offering.